Welcome to VFN Radio. It is Tuesday. We have a new president that is, I guess, the same president that's sworn into office at the inaugural parade yesterday. We have a lot of things we're going to talk about today. One of the things we're going to talk about is continue talking about the power of God. We got two things I didn't share with you that may make you think, whoa, didn't think about that. Joining me to encourage you today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
We're also going to be talking about a pastor in Iran who started a network of house churches, has been arrested, now is facing a death sentence. We're going to be able to pray for him. We'll be talking about that. Also, the elections for the Prime Minister of Israel is being held today. We will also remember Israel and pray that God would touch their hearts, the right person over Israel. We're going to be talking about living on the edge, no longer living a safe life, and so many wonderful things. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
I mean, did you know that today is the day, Tuesday, they're having the elections in Israel for choosing their prime minister? Of course, Benjamin Netanyahu was the prime minister, and they're fixing to determine who it's going to be. And the Voice of America reports that Israel voted on Tuesday in an election that is expected to see Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu win his third term in the office, pushing for a Jewish state further to the right, which is great.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Versus to the wrong. You know, there is a left. Oh my goodness! And sad to say, you know, today also is the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, and over 55. CBN News reports this: over 55 million citizens of America has been killed, been aborted, and since then, that's one American killed every 30 seconds. Through abortion, every 30 seconds since that passed. And the interesting thing about that is that, first of all, if that is you and that's your life, realize that God can heal you, God can forgive you, and God can restore you. But we got to stop it. We just have to stop and turn to God. Well, the fact now it's been 40 years. 40 years is a generation, and pretty much what comes after a generation of doing something wrong is a halo around the moon.
Yeah.
I mean, last night, there was this perfect halo, right? Chris, can you join us?
Yep, I'm here.
There was a perfect halo last night, just thousands of miles around. Clear as can be. You can see the moon. You can see probably Saturn. But on the in the inside of the ring, it was clear. But as it got to the white ring itself, it was kind of, it was white, but then it kind of faded out and kind of hazed out. Yeah, it was amazing. You know, Chris is on one side of the city looking at it, and I'm one side of the city looking at it, and all of a sudden he goes, it's like the eye of God. You know, this huge eye, like the earth, you know, is an eye.
Right.
And you kind of like, hey, God. I mean, we were like smaller than a teardrop in that eye is how big it was. Yeah. And it's a sign. I looked it up, and, and not obviously the perfect source, but a source at Wikipedia, and they said that it is a sign of a coming storm.
Oh, wow.
Sign of a coming storm. Have you read the news lately? There's a storm coming and you can't get away from it. Have you read the news lately? There's a storm coming.
All right.
You know, it's just like, oh my goodness. Are you serious? It means that there's a coming storm. There's a definite storm that's coming. You know, when there's anybody that knows, we just gathered in a leadership and from around the nation. We got together and just were encouraging each other. And, I mean, God said over and over again in so many different ways. And he says, let everything be established in the with two or three witnesses. Well, I think there's like 100, 200, 300 witnesses. And the dreams that people are getting and the words and the confirmations are happening, you know, several times. Of course, Joseph tells Pharaoh, when Pharaoh had the dream twice, he said, the reason why, when you have the dream twice, it means it's definitely, God's definitely going to do it. Well, we don't know what the biblical pattern is of when God said it 1,000 times. You know what? And we're really, that's the mercies of God. God's wanting us to, he wants to exercise his mercy and for us to turn to him. And I really believe what we were talking yesterday about the power of God, that the kingdom of God is not about mere talk, but it's about power. And though the words are true, there needs to be, there people need evidence of the power of God when you're ministering to them. If Jesus said, God of the flesh, if he said, if you don't believe what I'm saying, at least believe the evidence of the miracles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if God said that and he wasn't offended that that had to happen, who were we to even say, you know, need some evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, here we are, that the power of God being poured out from believers, when we realize that the kingdom of God is within us and we just step out by faith, and we're going to talk about today, you know, the regrets of living safe. It's the opposite happens in your life. And that it has to be loosed from inside of you. The kingdom has to be loosed and carried. I mean, think this is how humble God is. This is this awesome God who could just, you know, move his finger and wipe us out. But he's madly in love with us. And he's making himself known to us if we'll listen. And he wants to forgive us. That here he was. He loved us and he wanted to have a relationship with us, but the only way that could happen is if he offered up his own son. So he sends his son, who was born of a virgin, to live and walk on this earth for 33 years. He lived, he ministered, he did all these signs, wonders, and miracles, and everything we read in the Gospels and the powerhouse ministry of Jesus. And then he dies, he's raised from the dead, and he's with the Father now. But he leaves that in the hands of men to write about it.
Mm.
You know, most of us will go, well, let me write the book, because you're not going to get this right. Your viewpoint is going to be totally different. And God, the creator of the universe, who's holding everything together, said, or didn't, by his actions, okay, you just observe what I'm saying and doing and write about it. Mm. Of course, it was under the unction of the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
But we still can mess that up. I don't know if y'all noticed that or not.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, an unction means, you know, Brother King used to tell me, it means God grabbing you by the scruff of the neck and telling you, you got to go. And, but entrusted to men, the gospel of salvation, to write about it, to communicate to us that this is how it happened. I mean, is that why? Cause he says, you know, very specifically I don't testify about myself. He said, I mean, he says, I think it's in John chapter 5, verse 31 to 32. He says, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. But you think about it. He could have written 1,000 books, you know. He could have just like, okay, typewriters aren't invented yet, but we're going to have a pop in a word processor, whack this thing out. Or he could have just told some angels, type it up, get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And get it to them, sort of like the Mormons think it happened, you know, the Egyptian golden tablets. And but he didn't do that. And because and today everybody's about self-promotion, they're trying to promote themselves, and they're trying to network and promote themselves, and it's all about the only person that's given a witness of them is them. And it's like, you know, show me some evidence. I know that you clicked and said that, you know, you're on Facebook, you said you're friends, but are you really friends? I mean, can they testify about your life?
Mm.
This is what I used to say in the sheriff's department when I was a deputy, was that, you want to be able to, you got to have witnesses that know your life, mm-hmm. that can testify about your character and all that, because you're constantly being put on a witness stand and all that. And we're working with men, we'd always say, listen, is there enough, do you have enough friends in your life to carry your casket? It takes 6 pallbearers to be able to carry a casket. Can you name 6 people today that would carry your casket?
Outside of your friends, I mean, outside of your family.
Outside the obligatory crew.
Right.
Yeah, got to carry it. And think about it, that there should be people that you're living your life around that can testify that you're a talker or a walker. I mean, it's doing in the same situation. And Jesus didn't even testify of himself. He said, if I, in another part he talks about, he says, if I did testify, it'd be accurate, but I'm not going to do it. He let God do it, and he let men do it. And God did it through his Spirit, giving these men an unction, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, 4 men.
All right.
You know, I think I was, oh my goodness, you know.
Amazing.
And so I just want to encourage you to embrace humility. Embrace humility and live your life in such a way. Let God be the one that that promotes you. He is. That's where promotion comes from. And be okay with being, you need to be low anyway. Keep your head low and Lord high. But understand, you don't want to be promoted before your time. It could cost you your head. I mean, think about this. God is working individually in everyone's lives. And he has an orchestra he's playing. And you need to play your flute or your saxophone at the same time. When he says now, that's when you play it. You got a saxophone. You just don't start riding over everybody else. You start messing up the orchestra. Mm-hmm. But understand, it might not make sense, but God could have somebody that he has doing something that they will do that in the season for, you know, 2 or 3 years, 10 years or a decade. And all of a sudden that will be over. He says, now it's time. And then he would just loose that next gift on the body and in the world. And Joseph proves that when you look at Joseph's life. I mean, Joseph, he was just faithful to his father and doing what he was told. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, he heard the voice of God. It just rocked the world. It changed everything. He heard the voice of God. God spoke to him in his sleep. Mm-hmm. And he was pumped about it. And I don't know if he shared it too soon.
A little too pumped about it.
Yeah, I guess, you know. And brothers don't like to hear, oh, you'll be bowing down to me. You know, and needless to say, what they meant for evil, God worked it out for good. But it does make you wonder, you know, could the journey been different? And or when Paul, I mean, think about Paul, when he was talking about humility, understanding even in all that, God spoke to Joseph and it looked like, wow, this thing's going to happen. But then there was a whole process that he had to trust God in as he was going through that. And at just the right time, when he didn't even want it, he was promoted to the second, basically president of Egypt. And he was running Egypt. And that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Today, it's like, man, we sure need a Christian over Egypt. A Jew.
That'd be good.
A Jew was the president of Egypt.
Yeah.
That's what happened. A Jew was president of Egypt. Right. And they knew he was a Jew.
Yeah.
And promoted him there. And you can just so understand that Jesus trusted the Father and allowed him to testify of Jesus and his spirit, you know, to give people drawings and unctions to begin to write and recall and all that. And it's like, think about this, how much easier it's going to be for you when you stop promoting yourself. You'll have so much free time to be able to minister and love but it's just amazing. I just want to encourage you today. I mean, that's just amazing to me that God, the creator, you understand, everything you see and don't see, he created, sent his son. So here he's this huge price he's giving for us, this huge price Jesus is laying down for us, but he leaves it in the hands of men to write about it.
Also humility. When you think about it, I mean, it can teach so many of us, right?
Right.
In the church at large, you see a lot of people just looking for prominence and stage, and it's like Jesus wasn't even concerned about it. I mean, that's just kind of that's mind-boggling. That the Son of God would come and the importance of what he did on the face of this earth and what he did for us as mankind, and he didn't even write it dead. Yeah. He allowed the ones he was ministering to, you know,
For 3 years.
To write it.
Yeah.
You know, of course, in the unction of the Holy Spirit, like we said, but still, I mean,
well, we can mess that up. We've proven that that's possible to have the unction of the Holy Spirit mess that up.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, Lord, forgive, we will never bring ourselves up. It's like, wait a minute. That
right.
Is just...
And the whole thing is that we are into promotion, but it's not self-promotion. It's a promotion of Jesus and his kingdom.
Yes.
And somebody, you know, says, well, you know, you're real aggressive about it. Yeah, there's going to be a day we're going to face God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be denying ourselves and promoting Jesus.
That's
you know?
Right.
That's right.
We have all those talents, but they're not to be used on us. They're to be used on advancing the kingdom of God.
Exactly.
And just amazing. Just I want to encourage you. I mean, if God entrusted men to write down his message to us, I mean, think about that. That's amazing. No videos, no pictures. I mean, men are gonna write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Scratch it out.
And the amazing thing is how accurate they were when they wrote it. But he still entrusted men, flawed men, to be able to, men that he just had to give his son so they could be in relationship with, men that needed a savior, men that were fallen. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They weren't like Jesus. And so it's just amazing to me, you know, when God's just revealing that to me, just like, wow. I mean, you know, obviously Pat trusts God like that, but you know, we got to really just kind of let it go. Right.
That's right.
What's God saying to you, man?
Well, you know, we've been hearing so many things about, you know, what the coming storms and, you know, the economy crashing, the fiscal cliff, all that stuff going on. And I just recently read in Ecclesiastes where this is Solomon saying, you know, warning us. He says, enjoy prosperity while you can. But when hard times strike, realize that both came from God. Remember that nothing is certain in this life.
Wow.
And that was just, wow.
Read that again.
He says, enjoy prosperity while you can, but when hard times strike, realize both came from God. Ooh. And remember, nothing is certain in this life.
One of the wisest men outside of Jesus Christ that ever lived.
Yep. Ooh. Exactly. And it's just a reminder that, and we got to, like you just said a few minutes ago, we got to live like, you know, Jesus is coming back tomorrow and work as hard as we can. Like he's not coming back for 100 years.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
We got very little time.
Very little.
Very little. And God's been warning us. He's been telling us over and over again, which is his mercy.
Right.
Like, how many warnings do we need?
Right.
You know, how many
right.
more signs in the sky do we need? So, come yeah. on.
How many eyes you need looking at you?
Yeah, exactly.
It was a huge eye. Like, oh, my goodness.
Exactly. And it's just like, all right, we got to get busy. You know, the harvest is coming, but are we ready for it?
Yeah.
You know, are we ready? The church is not ready for it.
No.
I mean, if it was the hit today, right. I think we just get run over.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And
because you can't squeeze in a harvest.
No, you can't.
Everybody
no.
stops what they're doing. They go into the fields and they start harvesting while the season's there. I mean, you have to, it's just, and if you're not used to giving things up and you're trying to squeeze in a harvest, it's not, it's going to run you over.
Yeah.
It's just, you're not going to be a part of it. You got to be, it's, when the harvest hits, you got to adjust.
Right.
And you got to be ready. You got to already rehearse that because you've already given things up in your life. You're ready mm-hmm. any moment's time to be able to give. Because yeah. it does. It's a huge demand.
And if you're not ready to pull in the harvest when it's harvest time and you don't have enough workers and you're not in the harvest fields, then the harvest dies off if you don't bring it in.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So then what the enemy's done is changed the message of the gospel to justify the dying of the harvest versus we're going to be held accountable for not going
exactly.
and receiving.
That's right. I just remember what you were talking about not too long ago with when Brownsville, when the mm-hmm. God showed up and the harvest is coming in, and were y'all ready? You know, it was like right. all of a sudden everything.
No, we were called by surprise. Everybody was called by surprise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So either you changed,
right,
or you get run over,
right.
You know, I'm sorry.
The mercies of God with the Brownsville outpouring in Pensacola, Florida, was that He gave us time to heal.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's about to happen. There's not going to be.
I don't
any
think there's
time.
That grace for it.
No.
Or that.
Yeah.
Know.
Yeah. I don't. I really don't. Because it's a desperate need. Not only that, we're at the end of, you know, for a generation that said it's okay to kill an American every 30 seconds, pretty much. 55 million children have been aborted. 55 million Americans. You think about it, they'd be having babies, they would be paying taxes, they would be doing all these different things. We would be probably around 400 million in the population,
mm-hmm.
growing
exactly.
exponentially, and we've killed all that off.
Right,
and that blood
is killed our harvest.
Yeah, killed it. Oh yeah, killed that for sure. And this storm that you're talking about is going to create a huge harvest of people mm-hmm. that realize, you know, that like we did, mm-hmm. that we needed God. We needed God, and that God loves us. God had a plan for our life, and then they're going to see that, and their eyes are going to open up. The question is are we going to willing to lay down our life? Mm. Are we willing to lay down our life for the harvest? And when we're not even willing to have our children because they'll get in our way and take
get
up our money
way.
And resources and time, are we willing to have God's children and raise them up? You know what I'm saying?
It's one of the most selfless things you could do is raise up God's children, but it's the most rewarding.
Yeah, it is. Especially it's eternally rewarding
mm-hmm.
that you're living for eternity, which is a lot longer than this life.
Mm.
I heard recently that it's, you know, when you're 10 years old, it's sort of like you're driving at 10 miles an hour. But when you're 25 years old, it's like you're driving at 25 miles an hour. But when you're 40 years old, you're like driving at 40 miles an hour. Your life is clicking faster and faster and faster and faster.
Wow, that's so true.
It is true. And and some people are breaking the speed limit right now. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, we're all headed towards eternity. You know, whether the Lord is going to come back for us at a moment in a twinkling of an eye before we go, or all of a sudden our life ends in this life and we're on with God. And the thing is, it just happens quicker and quicker and quicker. We've got more to talk about right after this message. Do you know there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America? The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-outright attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down, the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him, meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. That was something that came up that God spoke to me, and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person, another person. It's living and active.
Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues, it just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly. Right. And he speaks to you the way that you hear.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we don't all hear the same way, but God knows, you know, how to speak to us. And,
right.
And it's just awesome. It's just, it's powerful. You know, it's life-changing.
Yeah. When you abide with the Lord, like he talks about in John 15, you know, apart from abiding in him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen instead of oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called, and by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John, talking about, you know, living our lives for God, understanding that not even Jesus wrote down what we needed to know. He had trusted his awesome life and purpose and salvation of all men to men so they could write it down, what we call the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Wow. So amazing, you know, just everything that the Lord is showing us. And I so enjoyed yesterday's program. If you missed yesterday's program, my goodness, you got to go to VFNTV.com and select the torch and listen to the power of God. It separates the talkers from the walkers, those walking with God as Jesus did. And it just reminded me of just, you know, some of the things the Lord has already told us. And one of the things that the Lord shared with me during my, you know, some time I just spent with the Lord about the Apostle Paul. You know, we talked about the Apostle Paul yesterday, about him being, you know, just a man that was just a great pioneer. Actually, we talked about this in a previous program, but a pioneer for God. He was a flame. He was a torch that shook a city. And I was reading in Acts chapter 19 that Paul goes to Ephesus, and one man, Greg,
one
shakes an entire city for God,
including the economy.
Wrecked house.
He shifted the economy. Yes. Where they were buying idols and Diana and their blessings come down.
Demetrius says he gets the craftsmen, he gets the tradesmen together, and he says, listen, we've got to, I'm paraphrasing, it's just verse 23, but it says, we got to do something about this guy, Paul.
Yeah.
We got to do something about him. He says, look, this is not good for business. This is not good for business. And they're making these crafts and these shrines.
Exactly.
And these
That's
idols.
Exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
It affected the economy. Yeah.
And in verse 26, he says, and you hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that man-made gods are no gods at all. This is a danger not only to our trade, but to the good name of this temple, of this goddess and all. It's like, come on. I mean, one message.
Many Americans would say this. They would say, but you don't understand. This is how I make my money. Mm-hmm. And then God revealed, that's not the way to make your money. That's actually sin.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You
know, making those idols that they were making.
And that's the question Rick asked Stan. You want to make money and live in sin, or do you want to choose God? You know, we have to make some serious decisions in our lives if we're going to go on with God. We can't have sin and God too. So he's sharing with these craftsmen and these guys these tradesmen who are making this stuff, and all of a sudden they get so upset, they get so stirred up that they break out into a riot. I mean, this is like they're going to town. And in fact, the word says that this riot lasted for 2 hours at least, because all they kept doing was shouting, you know, this goddess Artemis.
You know, many would say, well, obviously that's not God. Look at all the strife and the economies. Yeah. You know, the people are losing their jobs. This couldn't be God.
Yeah.
And it was so God.
So God.
Yeah.
Because here, Paul, he's just being a torch. When you talk about a man that came and just, you know, so many people make excuses. You hear excuses sometimes about the gospel and going into the harvest field. And it's like, wait a minute. This was one man who was willing to obey God, one man who was willing to not come in persuasive and enticing words and gimmicks and all this type of stuff, but was willing to preach the word, the full gospel of God, not with persuasive words, but with demonstration of the Spirit's power. And he was a lightning rod that literally rattled a city. So when you think about what is it that Paul did, that, you know, what did Paul do to shake the city? Well, the beginning of chapter 19, one of the first things he does in verse 2 is he arrives and he finds out that there's believers in the city, and he begins to ask them, hey, did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And so they said, no, we don't even know. So he lays hands on them, and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, it goes on to say that Paul continues to go into the synagogues, and he's teaching and preaching and just sharing the word of God. Then later on, it talks about how he discipled, basically, the ones that were in Ephesus and were followers of the Lord. For 2 years, he stayed planted. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't show up and go to another city and or get another word and just, you know, blow in, blow up, and blow out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he stayed there. He was willing to disciple the believers there for 2 years. And then the word says it, that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. Extraordinary miracles. And verse 12 says, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the spirits left them. We're talking about the power of God, the word of God, and one man willing to stay in the city, one man willing to go to a people group, one man willing to stay planted and say, no, for this hour, you know, for this hour. And if you know earlier in that chapter, this is where we talk about the sons of Sceva. You know, they tried to do what Paul did.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Right. They tried to do what Paul did, and it worked for a little while.
They did it in Paul's name instead of Jesus' name.
And the demon responds, Jesus, I know. And I know about Paul, but who are you? Who are you? And the thing is that Paul's name was known in hell. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. And the thing about it, this same Jesus, the same kingdom that was in Paul,
mm-hmm.
is in every believer.
Yes.
We have everything that we need. All we need then is faith in what we already have in God. Not faith for things and stuff, but faith to be able to say, you know, God, I want to live for eternity. I want to live not for this vapor, but I want to live my life for you. And I want to imitate those that have gone before me. I believe, Lord, that greater is you that's in me in this city than all this stuff in this city. And that you can shake this city and they can hear the gospel and they can see the evidence of the power of the kingdom and give them an awesome chance to be able to say yes to God. And quite often, you know, people, especially in you know, America, everybody expects to win. They just expect to win. Everybody gets a trophy. It doesn't matter. You're wondering, like, do we still get a trophy? We were, like, sorry as a kid, right? And it's like, we got a trophy? And you got people talking about trophies today. It's like, dude, you didn't deserve that trophy. That was, like, you know, we didn't deserve pizza.
A participation trophy.
We would go to, like, Shakey's Pizza or something, and it was just terrible. We define the kingdom of God like the kingdom of men. And the truth is that even Jesus, when he went to Chorazin, he is God. He did everything the Father told him. He is the kingdom of God. You know, he's the king over the kingdom. He is accurate in everything he said. He's a sinless man, all God. He perfectly executed the truth in Chorazin, and they didn't receive him.
Mm-mm.
One particular, I'm saying that because a lot of people say, well, I tried that, and they said no. It's like, well, then don't change your message. Change your audience.
That's right.
Don't keep trying to talk to somebody that said no. He says, dust your feet off.
Yeah.
So you can, what you're talking about, you can go in with the power of God into a city and begin to demonstrate and preach the kingdom.
Look, when these demons went crazy on the sons of Sceva, the word of God says that great fear seized the city, and the name of Jesus was held in high honor.
Awesome,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is demonstration of the Spirit's power. They said, wait a second. What is happening? When the sorcerers, right. They said they came and burned up their scrolls.
Right.
They came, you know, and that's what we need. We need that all of us, believers, can be in the harvest to be preaching and sharing the word of God so that people will turn.
So sons of Sceva, that they were a sign.
Yes.
You know, God is a God of signs and wonders. You really don't want to be the sign, and you don't want people to wonder. But God has a way of allowing us to be those things so that other people, if it benefits the overall good of the family, you know, so be it. You know, so be it. And I'm going to be talking about, you know, in a while about living, the regrets of living a safe life. Paul did not live a safe life.
He was out. On the edge.
He's on the edge because he's advancing something.
Yeah.
He's on the edge of what is, taking what is further than what it is, which means you got to be facing nothing and being believing God and advancing something that isn't. He's forcefully advancing the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And he successfully did it. I mean, it's the Gentiles. Hello, that's us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so the word of God spread all over the city. It spread all over the province. You look at Paul's life and ministry, the word of God just spread everywhere.
Right.
And that gives us great hopes today. You know, everything that Paul was equipped with, we're equipped with today. Nothing else has to happen for the same signs and wonders to occur and for the gospel to continue to advance, for people to know the Lord. I mean, you're talking about storms. We're talking about all these things that are happening. Today is the day of salvation. I mean, today is the day that people need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And there's many people that are searching, that are looking. Don't be convinced by those that are not turning. Let me tell you, many people today are turning their hearts to God, but you're going to find them in the harvest. You're not going to find them on the couch. It's the truth, right?
Oh, dear God. there's nothing more boring than living a safe life anyway. I mean, they got people doing crazy things just to get excitement. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, living for God is very exhilarating. You're not trying to go out and do anything in addition to, like, you need some more risk. If you're living on the edge with God to advance his kingdom, you've got probably all the excitement you can handle plus some.
Right.
And it's totally amazing. Well, you know, I was talking about the power of God and the kingdom of God and going into a city, you know, rocking the city for God, coming in there like a lightning bolt, you know, coming into, which city were you talking about he was going into?
Ephesus.
Ephesus. Yeah, Ephesus. And he just brought in that, several cities he went to. I was just curious which city you're talking about. But the that same Jesus is inside every believer. Christ yeah. in you, the hope of glory that we were talking about yesterday,
yeah.
the hope of the power of God. And, you know, if you got real excited yesterday when we're talking about that, it's great. You know, your faith is up. And it's interesting when you think about the power of God and remember Jesus was talking about, if you don't believe what I'm telling you about, the Father is in me and I'm in the Father, at least believe the evidence of the miracle, which basically confirms exactly what I'm telling you,
mm-hmm.
that God's in me.
Yeah.
But then he progresses in that when he begins to pray in John 17, when he says, you know, I pray not only that I pray that they would be one as we are one, you know, you and me and I and you and us and them. So the yeah. next level of our faith is to understand this same Jesus, the way God was in him. Now both of them are in us.
Mm-hmm.
And so now our faith in that reality, which means we're operating in it, will be operating just like in the evidence proving that Christ is in us, the hope of glory,
yeah.
that's a powerful thing. At that yeah. point, you know, Jesus had not yet gone to be with the Father and hadn't sent down his Spirit yet, but it was the Father and the Son and the Son and the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling him that. And he says, but if you don't get it, because he's at least believed the evidence of the miracles. And then the progression of that in John 17, when he goes to be with the Father, he's saying he's going to be in us. So the way that God was in him, God's in us now.
Yeah.
It's just a powerful thing. And so now we're talking, we're preaching to people and telling them that God loves them. God's got a plan for life, loving God, loving others, and leading others to the same. Simultaneously, we're seeing the power of God, God confirming that word with dreams and healings and just deliverances and baptism in the Holy Spirit and all these different things taking place. That's him confirming the evidence that God is in us. Know mm-hmm. ye not yeah. that you're the temple of God, that God's Spirit dwells inside of you?
All right.
I mean, think about it. Even Moses said, you know, God, unless your presence comes,
yeah.
how will they know? How will they know you've got to come?
What's the point? Like Misty Edwards says, what's the point? I'm serious. I mean, yeah. what's the point? People say, let's just go ahead. But what's the point? Let's just wait on God. Why do you want to show up without God? We got to first get this. Something's wrong. We need to figure this out. But I know I got everybody excited yesterday. If you heard, if you didn't, you got to go back and listen to the power of God and the kingdom of God. But there's something I needed to tell you what happened prior to this taking place that puts things in huge perspective of, remember, because Jesus began to walk through Galilee, healing everybody that was sick and diseased, and then the power of God began to move. I'm going to tell you about it in just one moment after this break.
Wow. At BFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcasts.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get
right.
people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America,
mm-hmm.
then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums yep. weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history,
mm-hmm.
our history started with next step. And it was right. it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive. you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out, they came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in to die. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat, John, and Chris. You know, I was just talking about the power of God. You know, the kingdom of God is not a matter of just words and mere talk. It's about the power of God, the power of the kingdom. And it was just so exciting talking about that yesterday, and it's just something the Lord just poured into my heart. And if you haven't heard it, you got to hear it. It'll just excite you. And if you did hear it, then you're going to be it's going to give you perspective what I'm about to share with you. Because right before Jesus, remember, Jesus was walking through Galilee, and he's just preaching the kingdom of God, and he's healing people that are sick and have diseases, everybody, all the people that were sick and had diseases. And of course, this huge crowd started coming in, the word started passing, and then he began to preach the Sermon on the Mount. Well, preceding this power of healing and all these things that were taking place, there was one thing that Jesus did prior to the start of his ministry. He was baptized by John the Baptist, remember, but then he was led by God's Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit into a time of fasting and prayer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, it was like we were, oh my goodness. So he went through a time of fasting and prayer before he saw, or we saw, the manifestation of the power of the kingdom of God. And so we got to back up a little bit and say, what happened? What was he doing prior to him walking through Galilee like that? And he talks about it in Matthew chapter 4. You know, what was happening? What was happening? And this is what happened. As soon as he was baptized, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit, capital S, into the desert to be tempted by the devil after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. Then the devil began to tempt him. And so there's something, if you look, I think about A.A. Allen, and A.A. Allen who moved in the kingdom of God message. And A.A. Allen, he said, you don't have no problem. All you need is faith in God.
Right.
And, but he locked himself up. He locked himself up in his house, in a room. And he told his wife, don't bother me. I'm going to be fasting. I'm going to be praying. And I really believe, I wasn't there, but I can sense those moments where it's like, you know, something's got to give. It's all got to happen. And the only hope for America, by the way, is the fullness of the kingdom of God with the evidence of power. And I just really feel he was going through that at the time. But when he came out of that thing, and the Lord gave him a list of like 11 things or something, and he shared part of it and didn't share the other, but God spoke to him about some things. And he, you know, responded to the voice of God. And then, you know, miracles began to happen in his ministry and power. Basically, what's a miracle? Everything's a miracle.
Yeah.
But, you know, power began to happen, confirming his ministry and his and the kingdom message that he was preaching. Well, Jesus had 40 days of prayer and fasting led by the Spirit of God. So it's not like, hey, I'm going to go on my own carnal fault life. I'm going to go, hey, I'm going to go on 40 days of fasting because this is a checkbox. You check this off and then power comes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He was led by the Spirit of God. It was time to pray and to fast.
Mm-hmm.
And when he did that, he went through some real rough times. He had to deal with, you know, who is he going to worship? He had to deal with, is he going to test God? Mm-hmm. You know, is he going to respond the right way? Is he going to be willing to give up everything because the kingdoms of the world was offered to him? And he went through all these paradigm realities, and he had to say no. And he had to say, you know, I'm following God, my Father. That's it. And he quoted the word back to him. But it was after all this personal struggle that Jesus had that miracles, signs, and wonders began to break loose in his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when struggle is totally wrongfully understood quite often in the American gospel, it's like it must not be right. And it's like if you step outside of America a little bit, you know, just to minister every day, you got to struggle. I remember ministering in Israel. It was the toughest environment probably I've ever ministered in because there's so many things attacking the gospel there and attacking Israel. And
they said the executive from Google went to North Korea and on this trip, and his daughter reported back. He says, "Nothing that I have seen or heard prepared me for what I saw. There were no cars, people walking for miles and miles and miles just to get to work. And we don't know anything about struggle here. The people in other countries that live way more difficult lives than we do."
Right. And he just given much as expected.
Mm. Yeah.
And so he went through a time of prayer and fasting led by the Holy Spirit. And in that, it wasn't just, you know, doing without. He was humbling himself and trusting God despite all the things that were happening. And when he came out of that, he began immediately to go into all the world. He didn't wait around, and he didn't say, let me go back to my father's house and build some more stuff with Joseph. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't say, he just went straight into ministry. He went straight into advancing the kingdom of God, to preaching the kingdom of God. And understanding those things in conjunction, that's what he did. He says, imitate me. You know, we should live a life that imitates Jesus. And right. Understanding that, that's what happened. And so we were all pumped up and excited about the power, but it's like, you know, we have to die to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have to die to ourselves. We have to be willing to lay down our life so that God's life can shine through us and that he would get the glory. And that we go around doing these good things and the power of God's moving, we're preaching the gospel, but it's not about us. And only through a time of prayer and fasting and self-denial, which is a whole new concept, right?
Yeah.
Self-denial. And by the way, he says, unless you pick up your cross and deny yourself and follow me, you cannot have a part of me. That's totally different gospel. And that's Jesus preaching it.
Mm-hmm.
Than what you hear. But when you walk with God in that manner, in that way, then you begin to see the fullness of the kingdom. When you give it all up for God, God takes care of you. It's amazing.
Yeah, it sure does.
And all of a sudden, the book of Acts is not a history book. It's literally a operations manual. It tells you how to respond when these things are taking place. And I'm not talking from theory. I'm talking from watching it myself. I'm talking about, you know, I used to be a traditional an American typical, you know, pastor over, you know, you just show up and listen and then go back home and that's it, you mm-hmm. know? Mm. And of course, then I began to just say, you know, I want more of God. I want the fullness of the kingdom. I want the family of God. I want what God says we're supposed to have. And it's just everybody, it's like some sort of, audience. You know, some sort of audience that's just watching church instead of being the church. And it's like, what's going on? And we're going to be sharing a word in the extra hour from Steve Hill about that particular situation. It's going to shock you, but it's true. And it locks in with what God's saying to a lot of his people. And we have a moment of time. We need to respond to this. But understand, it's just a time of saying, you know what? I got to prepare myself. How do I do that? Is I first make Jesus the Lord of my life. He might be a religious concept to you, but you make him the Lord of your life. You get become his disciple, mm-hmm. which means you know his teachings and you follow them. And that's what a disciple is a follower of his teachings. And then you begin to seek the Lord and watch what he does and get rightly related to his body and watch what happens as you obey God and imitate him. You begin to see the power of God in your everyday life. You know, maybe in your workplace, maybe you'll be a pastor, maybe, I don't know. But just being a believer in general, because we're all supposed to take care of the body, that the power of God is made manifest. Just a powerful, powerful thing. I don't know if you know this or not, but a pastor in Iran, Pastor Saeed, is an American pastor that started a network of house churches there, has been arrested. He's on trial today, and he's facing a life sentence. Listen to CBN News.
The trial of an Iranian-American pastor began today in Iran, despite Associated Press reports that Pastor Saeed Abedini may be released on bail. The American Center for Law and Justice issued a statement saying that bail has not been accepted by the Iranian court. The prosecutor charged Pastor Abedini with attempting to undermine the Iranian government by creating a network of Christian house churches. Abedini's attorney argued that his client's Christian activities were motivated solely by his faith, not politics. It's unclear if the trial wrapped up with today's hearing. Pastor Abedini could face the death penalty. The ACLJ is also urging President Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to speak out publicly for Pastor Abedini.
This is horrific. So let's just take a moment, if you're listening. Let's play for Pastor Abedini. Father God, we just lift him up and we just pray protection over him. And we come against the plans of the enemy to harm him or harm your church. It's there in Iran, that you would just move, show yourself powerful, Lord, like you shook the jail cells and the jail cells open, shake the situation and set him free, Lord. Keep him alive for you, Father God. Encourage the church there in Iran and protect all these house churches, Lord.
Yes.
That are not the churches that's meeting in houses, that they're not harmed, Father God. We just ask you for that. In Jesus' name. We have to remember those who are being persecuted around the world for our faith and their faith. and understanding this, that that day's coming. The day's coming inside of America, and we can see it just kind of echoing. If we don't stand up and do what's right now for God, mm-hmm. which is what we've been talking about, then it will just come in like a flood. I mean, God will raise a standard, but it will be a flood. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.